city of Sydney, home of corruption, loose money and sleaze.
Do not enter the city.
It's the city where everybody fails upwards. The city where you can't walk 5 metres without somebody selling you drugs, Botox, or fucking gelato Messina. And in this glittering glory hole, it takes a keen eye to separate the haves from the have-mores. Separate the dodgy property developers from the really, really dodgy property developers. It takes a team who knows Sydney so well that they've had the good sense to broadcast this show from an entirely different city altogether.
Ladies and gentlemen,
on Sydney's Triple M, this is Radio Chaser.
Yes, coming to you right across Sydney on Origin Day, or as we like to say here on Radio Chaser, Origin! Reece and Charles are here. And to up the rugby league knowledge on this show, which frankly at times has been a little bit lacking, we have from Triple M's the back row, A.H. Cayley. Hello, A.H.
G'day, how are you?
Welcome aboard. Now, look, you were listening to the show the day that Charles released the legendary clanger we call Jamie Thurston.
I was, yes. I was very impressed. Happy to help out.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah. A bit of
it's a nickname, right? It's,
yeah, a bit of remedial.
His friends called him that in uni.
Bit of remedial league info for perhaps the University of Life. I don't know.
Yeah.
You might well have. Also in the show today, can you talk like a Queenslander? They talk different north of the border. What is a port? If you know what a port is, you might win today. It's very weird.
Charles is looking confused already. I know what a port is.
It's a different world up there. We'll talk about that very soon. So we're coming up right here on Triple M. Let's kick the show off.
Warning. The following program
may contain scenes of graphic violence. Which you won't see.
The following program is Radio Chaser, Triple M.
Origin Day here at Triple M. Oh, that's a bit of Origin music. Perfect.
Okay.
Charles Reece, Dom and AH with you. Now, the Daily Telly, not always the voice of the people in New South Wales, but I think they've got it right today. Giant headline, don't stuff it up. Although, yep. Then they've got a photo of big, boofy blues guys with the blue wigs. If we're trying to terrify Queensland, I don't think the blue wigs are going to do it, guys. Come on.
Can I explain that wig? We don't want to sledge it too hard because it relates to Triple M Sydney. It's called the Blatchy's Blues Smart Wig. It has a little earpiece in it so you can hear the commentary live from us.
You can hear Triple M. It's got the fibre optics. I saw it at the game, actually, game two.
Basically just a glow stick situation with a headpiece.
Look, it's a cool wig.
It's so cool. But I love it.
Higher tech than our NBN.
Yeah.
But I think if you've got the forward lineup, the forward row, like the front row of the Blues in the wigs, I think Queensland's laughing at us. I'm just putting it out there. So, look, predictions this time. Now, Reece, last time you nailed it.
Yep.
This time you've made a very big call.
I have.
But it's one that I hope comes true.
Yeah, I actually believe that the Blues are going to win this. I think it's going to be obviously a historic win. I think we've only won
anywhere
twice.
Is a historic win.
No, but to win at Suncorp, I think we've only ever done it twice in a decider in history. This will be the third time. I think we're going to win it. I think we've got fresher legs. I think that the Jonathan Thurston not going to be playing, and I think that's a huge deciding part of this game. Mm-hmm. As I said in the last one, I said Jonathan Thurston will decide that game. Jonathan Thurston will also decide this game.
In his absence. I reckon Hayne. Look, my head says Queensland. My heart says New South Wales. I'm going to go with, when's my head ever done me any good? I reckon, narrow victory, Hayne playing, taking us over the line, but I don't really know. I just want them to.
Yeah.
You've been following this very closely.
Yes.
What's going to happen?
Look, I also think it will be a close win. We can't discount. I think the Blues will win, but we can't discount the power of a home game for Queensland at Suncorp. I think everyone's favourite player, Jamie Thurston, being off the field is going to make a huge difference. But at the same time, you know, we saw how we played without him as an opponent in game one, and we played incredibly. We were tight. We had a good spine. It's like for the first time in a long time, the Blues players were actually all playing in the same team. Instead of, sort of like a poorly formed supergroup.
Yeah, it happens with kind of all-stars, doesn't it? You bring them together, that they're either the travelling Wilburys or they're just like, doesn't really happen. Now, look, I want to be as respectful as possible about this. Charles, do you have any random uninformed opinions about what's
going on? But what I'm going to say is I'm going to take your expert opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put $100 on the Blues.
Right.
Because, you know, and so if they win, I'll get more money.
You should definitely.
And if they lose, I can blame you three for saying that the Blues were going to win.
I should point out that Charles's gambling is in no way related to the fact that his wife is away for 3 weeks.
I think you should definitely put Blues by 13 plus, and I also think you at home should gamble responsibly.
Yes, gamble responsibly as opposed to like Charles. Yes, we might do that in Monopoly money, Charles. So look, alternative therapies are a big part of this. Boyd Cordner, the captain's been going out and trying to Reiki, the therapy where they don't actually touch your body at all. Look, is it going to do nothing? Which is what I assume.
Well, it's done something because he's playing. So that Reiki touch, that that basically waving your magic fingers over Boyd, his calf, has somehow... Look, I'm signing up for Gwyneth Paltrow's course. I'll tell you what.
Can I perform Reiki from here? Like, if I my hands out in the studio...
Boyd, oh, Dom, stop it.
Yeah, stop it.
Oh, Dom, I'm healing.
It.
Oh, stop it.
We're all healing.
I don't know. That's great he's playing. That's great. All right, so we're backing them. But is that a heart or a head thing?
I think it's a head thing. I'm going cold logic on this. I sincerely believe that we've got fresher legs. We know that we can win. We've got a free, open, flowing game, which we saw in game one. We saw that incredible attacking football. And I'm saying that Queensland are aging. They've got too many aging players at the moment carrying too many injuries.
Over the
and
hill.
Even though they are at Suncorp, I don't think that's going to get in the way. And I think it's going to be a Blues victory. And I think that... each Blues player should keep the car running to get the hell out of Queensland as soon as that siren goes.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
How is your head?
Yeah, but no, my head's it's coming along pretty well.
Never
thanks. You noticed the bandages? Yeah.
All right, final quick question, guys. And I hate to jinx this, but I'm going to jinx this.
Uh-oh.
Because I, like, waking up tomorrow, if we've lost this one, what do we even do as a state?
What do we do as a state? We jump into Sydney Harbour with lamb chops tied to us.
Come on, Sharks, take us now.
Brock lamb from the Knights.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx us, and I'm very proud of New South Wales, but if we lose this one, it might be time to just do Queensland versus the rest of the world.
Yeah, indeed, it could.
Would we win that, AH?
Probably. I think if you look at sort of number of wins and stats, Queensland is the best rugby league team of all time.
I mean, it still amazes me that,
but we've got the best wigs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it still amazes me that if we want to find the best rugby league in the world, we still have to play ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We still have to go, okay, it's New South Wales versus Queensland. You're not going England or anywhere else. You're going, it's got to be an Australian versus an Australian team.
Just don't stuff it up. Radio Chaser. Triple M. Yes, and AH Kayleigh's with us today from the Triple M Superfan Footy Show, The Back Row. And look, AH, as someone who watches a lot of rugby league, the post-match interview is special.
They're spectacular. They're very well conceived. You can tell that a lot of thought has always been put into them, which is so impressive after, you know, putting in.
Because the brain's running on empty at that point, isn't it? After getting smashed around for 80 minutes.
Yeah. And they're definitely immense brains before the 80 minutes kicks in. You know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I always love that question where they go, like, you know, say with Jonathan Thurston kicking that field goal, they'll go, "What was going through your mind just before you kicked that goal?" You
know, and
you
know,
what's going. Yeah, exactly.
Did I do my laundry?
Yeah, exactly. Is vegan the thing for me, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Why are there two H's in my name?
That Reiki did work. Yeah.
I was at the game. That killed me.
Yeah.
He took so... I don't want to accuse the great Jay... the game today.
The
last game two. I don't want to accuse him of cheating, but the amount of time it took him... I mean, obviously the kick of his career pretty much in terms of origin, last kick of the game pretty much. Like, he moved backwards and forwards so many times. Mm. It was the worst. My heart stopped like six times.
It's what you call dramatic tension, and he is the lord of it.
Yeah,
it's not
like
they
call
running down the clock.
It's kind of like, you know, when a dog's trying to sit down and it takes a while to do it. That JT kicking is the dog sitting down of rugby league. And he has to, you know, he has to take his headgear off and then put it back on. He's got to fix his socks, take his mouth guard out, put it back in again,
text
take it out.
His partner. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So look, but then after that, the post-match interview, I can't imagine anything worse after getting smashed for 80 minutes than having some idiot putting a microphone in your face. So look, they do tend to... fall back on the same kinds of expressions. They tend to say the same things. It turns out there's actually a reason for that. We've got here some exclusive audio of what it's like for the players when they go and get media training in how to do those post-match interviews.
Hi, welcome to Rugby League Media Training. I am your trainer, Karen. Okay, should we kick it off? So you've just won the game.
Oh, really?
No. You haven't played it yet. We're just role-playing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. No, yeah, I was wondering.
Okay. So you've just won the game. Brad Fittler's come over. The headphones are on. He's asking you about the win. First, you need to invite our curiosity with an ambiguous intro. What might that sound like?
Or Nah, yeah.
Great. Now, what kind of game was it?
It was a tough game.
Correct. How else could you say that?
It was tough at times.
Yep. And where was it tough?
Out there.
Good. Now, you have to commend your teammates. How might you do that?
Full credit.
Full credit to?
The team.
Try again.
The boys. Full credit to the boys.
Great. And you could also say the lads. That's all right these days. But for a full credit, it's best to go with the boys.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
Okay. So you played the game. You got more points than the other team. So what did you do?
I won.
Okay, well, you didn't win.
Oh, sorry. We won.
Yeah, but we don't say it like that, do we? Do you remember the right way?
Came away with the 2 points.
That's usually what you'd say, but this is Origin.
Came away with the win.
When?
In the end.
Perfect. What are you thrilled about?
The paycheck.
Think about the viewers.
Oh, thrilled to get to represent and do this for all the folks at home.
And where's home?
Tamarama.
No, not Tamarama. Where does your grandma live?
I never met her.
Right, but where's she from?
Oh, Gunnedah.
Perfect. Okay, now can we try putting that all together?
Oh, okay. it was a tough game and just, yeah, I mean, you know, full credit to the boys. We went out there and put in 110% and we're just, you know, really happy we came away with the win in the end and just thrilled to get to represent and do this for all the folks at home in Gunnedah.
Wonderful. Great job. Okay, good luck with tonight and let's book you in again for early March. You'll get a reminder.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I'll see you then.
Oh, wait, actually. Yep. Are you up to date on scandal response? Probably be having a big party if you come away with the win in the end tonight.
I've let myself down, I've let my club down, I've let my family down.
Okay, great.
Okay, see ya.
Bye. Radio Chaser.
Triple M. Origin Day, of course, here we are hoping, praying, defying logic to hope for a Blues win. Although we hear that they're favourites of the bookies, which is surprising but awesome. 133353, if you want to learn how to speak like a Queenslander, or check your Queensland, because things are different up there.
Yeah.
133353, got a bunch of questions about Queensland talking. I do love working at Triple M, though, at Origin time. This morning I overheard a conversation. Guys, what cost code do we use for the Queensland sucks sign? We've got to bill it to someone. I think, it's breakfast? Yeah, grill team. That sounds right. All right, can you talk like a Queenslander? Dan from Kurnell is first up. Hey, Dan.
How you going, guys?
Really, really good. Here's a relatively easy one to start off. They talk differently up there. This is what this quiz is all about. How do you pronounce M-A-R-O-O-N if you're a Queenslander?
Marie!
No. 1, 2, 3, 5, 3. Talk like a Queenslander. Actual Queenslanders are welcome for once here on the show. Colin's in Burwood. Hey, Colin.
Hey, how you going?
Really good. M-A-R-O-O-N. We say maroon. What do they say north of the border?
Maroon.
Have another go.
Yeah, I think we did that.
It's maroon. Yeah. No one in the world says maroon except Queensland.
I say maroon. Am I saying it wrong?
No.
Except if you're talking football, it's maroon.
But normally the colour is maroon. Yeah, anyway.
No, I've been saying maroon this whole time. Sorry.
You're a queen. I'll step back. 133353. You know where the door is, Kaylee?
I did actually live there for a while.
That's what it is. Colin, what do you use to take your books to school if you're in Queensland? You use A.
Your port?
Yes, you know this one. Yeah, port is a bag. Who knows why? In Queensland it is. The options were bag, port or satchel and you've got it. It is a port in Queensland. It's like a portmanteau. I don't know what it is anyway. They're different. Next question. In that school bag, in that port, you might have a processed luncheon meat sandwich. What would you call it? Would you call it A, Devon, B, Windsor or C, Fritz? What would you call
A
it?
A for Devon.
If you're a Queenslander, what do you call it?
A for Devon.
No, that's New South Wales. Sorry, 133353. If you want to try the Queensland talking quiz, the language quiz.
This is genuinely informative.
It's really interesting, isn't it? No, they don't call it Devon. It's different in every state of Australia. Justin's on the line from Monavale. Hey, Justin.
How you going?
So, look, it's not Devon. Is it Windsor or Fritz? And bearing in mind, both those words are used in different parts of Australia.
I grew up in Queensland and we always called it Devon, so I've got to...
Things change.
It's Windsor.
Windsor is what I'm told. See, because this sort of evolved, right? Because it's a bit racist. Because
It was like German sausage.
It was a bit racist.
Then when World War II came around, they're like, they don't want to call it that. So they called it Fritz to be insulting in South Australia.
Right.
And in Queensland, they went one better, went Windsor sausage because the Windsor family are German.
I honestly thought the answer was Fritz.
It depends where you are.
I thought it was
in
Fritz
Adelaide,
as well.
It's Fritz. Anyway, good stuff. I've got a genuine Queensland. I've got to be on my toes here.
Yep.
What do you wear to go swimming in Queensland? Is it A, cozzies, B, swimmers, or C, togs? And bearing in mind, look at this sort of language is getting more standard around Australia. Sorry, which one?
What about D, birthday suit?
Yes. Which word do you use?
I'll go togs.
Yeah, togs.
Togs
right.
is right.
This is one of my favourites. What do they call a frozen ice treat in Queensland? Do you call it A, an ice block, B, an icy pole, or C, a bijingo?
What?
Well, as a kid, we always called them ice blocks.
This is really undermining the quiz. I got all this off Chaz Lichello's North Queensland relatives. They call it a bijingo. I'm not kidding.
What?
I've never heard of
a bijingo.
I was going to say icy pole.
Yeah, icy pole.
I was there for 7 years as a kid. Don't tell anyone. Go the Blues. I was born in Wollongong, so whatever. And we always said icy pole. So you got three different.
Yeah, Dom, this is getting a bit.
I think Chaz has sent you a little
bit. This is killing me. I did so much research on this.
Bijingo by Crikey.
Let's get the Macquarie Dictionary on the line. 1-3-5-3 if you know that it's a bijingo. I want to hear. Right, final one. Doug's on the line. Doug.
Yeah, mate.
Final test. How does every Queenslander say the word Queenslander?
Queenslander!
You've won the Chaser Cup! Well done. Go the Blues. It's the one thing that'll shut Queenslanders up. Let's hope they get there.
Easing the pain of your otherwise miserable life.
Is that right?
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Yes, Rhys, Charles, Dom and AH Kelly from the back row here. Now look, dating. I settled down after many, many years, in the wilderness. I think 4 years ago, kind of the fourth anniversary.
Did you live on a diet of wild dates?
No, I lived on a diet of weeping alone. Anyway, that was then. But it's just about the exact moment when I settled down, dating changed, right? Yep. Like Tinder arrived, all these apps arrived.
Yeah,
I did a little bit of kind of OkCupid or that sort of stuff. Oh. Like the apps back in the day, I went on like one disastrous date. Sorry to her if she's listening. but then I got the sense dating totally changed. Like Tinder, the whole thing exploded. And some of my friends like go on several dates a week. They're juggling all these things at the same time. You go to a different country, you get on Tinder and you kind of hook up. It's extraordinary. I don't understand this new world.
My wife's away for 3 weeks. She left on Sunday. And I'll tell you what, Tinder is so much fun. It is so much fun.
I hate it.
Why do you hate it, AH?
Look, the whole thing makes me uncomfortable. I wish I did it. I don't mean it in a judgment way. Just I've never been able to put myself out there, I'm on display. Like my perspective is insane. I don't like dating. It's like a job interview. It's very uncomfortable.
What it is like a job
interview. It is like a job interview.
And there's no spark to it. And it's like, I don't really want to be here, but I'm giving you a chance because I apparently have to. Why can't we just go back to the days where you meet someone at a friend's party, you fall in love immediately and that's it. No effort. Yeah. Just
that's
bam,
not,
they're in and they're not going to leave.
That's not how I remember
it. That's exactly what Tinder is.
No.
You don't even have to talk to the person. You just look at them and then swipe right and go, cool.
And then you have to go on the date.
But you don't have to go on the date. You just sort of flirt with them for a little while
married.
And then
Charles, you've been married for 13 years. No. How do you know about this?
I hate the
research.
Having to talk as well.
It's the Ben McCormick defense. I was doing research.
AH is absolutely right. Like I went speed dating once for an article I was writing.
Uh-huh.
I would have been happy to meet someone, but I didn't. It was like a job interview. Like the first... It was extraordinary. I talked to like 10 women in about 7 minutes each.
Mm. Which is more than his previous whole of life.
Yeah. It's true. It certainly was useful in that sense. But every single person's like, what do you do? It was basically how much money do you earn? And
I
remember because I was writing articles, so I didn't want to say I'm a writer, which is my standard article sort of answer.
Yep.
So I kind of was evasive. So like it went very badly. They thought I was unemployed. And I tried this entire thing of like, let's not even talk about jobs. It's like we've been talking about it all night. Let's just talk about something completely different. What do you like to do for fun? And honestly, I did this whole thing, this whole long story about how jobs didn't matter or whatever. And literally the last second of the date, she said, seriously, what do you do? So I don't get Tinder. It's completely confusing to me.
Yeah.
Fortunately, though, for people who just find that stuff too hard, don't want to go through all the shopping around, all that kind of stuff, trying to flirt, there's an alternative app that we've just released here at The Chaser.
Sick and tired of everyone swiping left when they see your profile? Sick and tired of getting no action while everyone else is partying 24/7? Sick and tired of Tinder, Tinder, Tinder? Have we got an app for you? Welcome to You'll Do, the realistic hookup app for those on the go and even the unemployed. No job, no problem. Only wear a clean tracksuit when you're going to court? So what? At You'll Do, you always get some action. At You'll Do, you can't swipe left. What you get is what you're given, and then it's time to get jiggy with it.
He's not very nice, and he's a bit racist, but, you know, he'll do.
When I first met her, she farted. Then I did. We've been together ever since. We'll always have Guzman and Gomez.
You'll Do dating app. When the only people pursuing you are Centrelink, you need You'll Do.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Yes, Origin Day here at Triple M's Radio Chaser. And I'm a big kudos to all the colleagues, just a handful of them who wear Maroons jumpers on Origin Day. Like, literally, the
I forgot it was Origin Day.
Charles is wearing a Maroon jumper. Yeah. Admittedly, a blue shirt underneath it, which to me is like submission. The blue shirt is being covered up by
I've put $100 on the Blues to win at $1.70.
You sound so excited about it too.
You know, like
you already sound apprehensive.
I'm totally going for the Blues, whoever they are,
in a maroon.
Anyway, just got some news coming out of America. Breaking news: an Air Canada jet has just almost caused the worst crash in airline history. Like literally meters away from causing the worst disaster in airline history. So what happened was this Air Canada plane came down and almost landed on the taxiway rather than the runway. And on the taxiway, there were four fully loaded jets with full of passengers, full of fuel.
Oh,
it would have caused a huge fireball. It would have taken out at least all those four planes, plus probably the terminal next to it. Anyway, United Airlines has responded by saying, "Hold my beer."
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
And it's time for the nation's favourite radio segment.
Cat's pyjamas or cat's piss.
It certainly is. The way this game works is like this. Three real news stories. I put them to our panel.
Adelaide.
I'm Alexander Downer. They really do talk like that, don't they?
They do.
Like something stuck somewhere. All right. Panel is Charles Firth, Rhys Muldoon and A.H. Cayley. First story from the news goes like this. A museum has found cases of 2-century-old wine in their cellar. This is in Union, New Jersey. It's Madeira wine. It dates back to 1796. My question to you, would you drink 2-centuries-old wine? Would you be willing to have a sip? Cat's pyjamas or cat's piss?
How can this
in
not
a heartbeat. I would scull them.
Yep. Yes, cat's pyjamas.
Absolutely, just to see what it was like. Mm.
You know when wine goes off,
the best vinegar you've ever had.
Does wine go off?
Yeah, like it gets corked.
It goes.
It smells. They say, like, I went to a wine tasting class once because I know nothing about it. And they say when it gets corked, it smells like wet dog.
Right.
Multiply that by 2 centuries. Are you sure you drink it?
I would do it, but I would also go, I would pour the first glass and then I would ring someone and go, "What are you doing?" And they'd tell me what they're doing. They go, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm just sipping a 1796 Madeira that I found in a cellar in Connecticut."
And it may have been, like, we don't know, it may have been optimal storage conditions. It could be that this is now an amazing wine. Worst case scenario, you get, you know, like a nice little balcony.
But either way, you're getting pissed. Come on.
Yeah.
And you get to dine out about it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, the good news is Madeira almost never spoils.
There we go.
It tasted like a sweet sherry. I actually tried it.
Very nice.
Well, I tell you, if I win my bet in Origin, I'll buy a bottle of it.
All right. Your responsible bet.
For here. Yeah.
Next story here is from Yahoo. Now, this is a bit of another dilemma. I like to look for the dilemmas for this segment. So a man from Olympia, Washington, who mailed one of his fingers to the IRS, the ATO in America, is facing federal charges.
Okay.
My question to you.
Of what?
Yes.
Oh, of, well, there was also.
Of mailing his fingers.
No. There's also other things.
There's
in
a law against that.
Like, there was like a bullet and a joint. But my question is, has he suffered enough or should he be jailed? Like, is it cat's pajamas or cat's piss to jail a guy who's already cut off his finger?
I think he definitely needs to go to jail because they clearly requested a pound of flesh.
What do you think, Charles? Cat's pajamas or cat's piss? I reckon he might have suffered enough.
Yeah, I reckon this is cat's piss. He's suffered enough. You shouldn't go to jail just for simply avoiding it. Well, no, but I want to know what the charges are. Is it avoiding taxes or for mailing a finger?
There's a whole long... It's a threat to injure.
I'll mail myself to you.
They're saying it's a threat to
injure.
The workers. There were bombs and things before.
I wonder which finger it was. I'm pretty sure I know which one.
Yeah, it might have just been in the middle. All right, there you go. So okay. I think there's a bit of cat's piss about that one. Final question here. All right, and this is a bit of a topical one. It's in all the newspapers, actually. So you're Donald Trump Jr. Try and imagine that. Mm. And a Russian government lawyer.
Just got to lose a lot of IQ. Just
that's cat's piss.
Yeah. A Russian government lawyer gets in touch and says, oh, hi. Yeah, I've got really damaging information about Hillary Clinton to give to you because of how the... Vladimir Putin wants your dad to win. Mm. Do you get the campaign chairman and Trump's son-in-law and go and do the meeting? Or do you say, no, that sounds disastrous, I'll probably go to jail? Cat's pajamas or cat's piss? Do you take the meeting?
No, this is cat's pajamas. This is absolutely genius coming from the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
What they're clearly going to base their defense on is, we didn't know it was against the law. That's why we've been so breathtakingly honest.
And open.
Open. We've shown you all the evidence of treason.
I specifically love the genius aspect of this, of meeting her at Trump Tower. not at some sort of secret location or in a park, just at Trump Tower to discuss colluding.
I think didn't he say in the email, if it's what I think it is, I'm very, very happy?
I think he said, I love it.
I love it. I love it. He does love it.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think? Would you take the meeting, IH? How would you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd take the bloody meeting, Dom. It's Origin Day. We've got to be brave. We've got to be bold.
Oh, I see.
You can get away with it.
Oh, so you're suggesting you would take the meeting to find out what any, you know, like so-and-so's got a sore ankle, so target that area. Mm. You'd get any dirt you could on the other team.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'd do it. And also the adrenaline of just like... probably not going to go to jail for this. You know, you got to back yourself.
Well, that is the big dilemma of Origins. I mean, there's a final bonus, cat's pajamas or cat's piss. We talked about this before. So Andrew Johns was very upset with the Blues because they didn't target Thurston's shoulder last game. They were too respectful. Yeah. They didn't want to destroy the shoulder of one of the greats of the game, perhaps permanently. Right. Do you do it? This is game three. This is the decider. This is the last chance for pride. Do you do it? Do you just target anything?
You do it for Charles.
Yep, good for me.
He's bet responsibly, and hopefully our players will be responsible in turn.
I'll be up $70 if they do it. That's worth it.
Blues, if you're listening and you're wondering, do we do the dangerous tackle, think of Charles and you'll probably be so angry you'll want to do it.
The sound of Sydney, made in China. Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Every State of Origin night has tens of thousands of individual stories, people who went out to the game, had a good night, had a bad night. My experience at Game 2 was pretty damn awful, I got to tell you. It was heartbreaking. I was there by myself. You guys didn't want to come. No mates. It was a terrible night all around. But I didn't have as bad a night as Liberal MP Eleni Patinos, who went out to the game. The telly's got an article on this. It's drivers avoid Queasy Street, fears of probe into vomit leaker. The MP for Miranda.
Great headline.
Eleni, so well done, Telly, on that. Yeah. Eleni Patinos, she went out to game two, and somehow the limo that she took home.
The government provided.
Yeah. Had to be cleaned the next day due to a strong stench of the old vom.
America has things like Watergate and the Trump scandal and everything like that. They're calling this Barfgate.
Which is a terrible name. It's an American
Barf
name.
Is a very American term.
Shundergate.
Yeah, we spew.
Yeah.
You know?
Spewgate is what Spewgate. It should be called.
Yeah.
So she spewed all over the thing, but I reckon
allegedly.
She's admitted it.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to give her some alleged, you know.
But she didn't tell the driver.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's not good.
You've got to fess up on the way home, unless she or the person who was in the car, who knows, was so far gone they didn't even realise.
I want to know how discreet she was.
I know.
In vomiting to the driver not be able to hear.
I know. I have known of girls vomiting into their handbag discreetly.
No, I would never do that. That's my handbag. It's in your handbag. I'm okay, not a rich woman, but I have seen, but I know that it is.
I have seen that happen though. Yeah.
There should be a separate pouch, shouldn't there? There should be like a little side vomit pouch.
Yeah. But you know what? And I apologize to, you know, any of you at home or at work who are currently chowing down on a desk lunch. You know that when there's a lot of liquid in you, which clearly this is a, you know, this
like
is
it was
a,
Origin night. There's a lot of liquid in everybody that night.
Exactly. And she wouldn't have been in the stands. She would have been in a box with full strength alcohol instead of the mid strength. So that's what's happening.
She had full hospitality, apparently.
Exactly. Right. When it's more like a liquid coming up thing, it's not that noisy. It comes up, you know, if you'll excuse the phrasing.
Does it sound
motion.
Like this? We've got a little sound sample here. No, we don't have it. we're playing it before. We're like, we got to use this in the chat? No, probably good.
No, I don't think so.
So look, here's the thing. But
the whole thing is, Dom, is that she claims that it's all right because she actually paid for the cleanup.
Yeah, personally paid the bill, which is the least you can do, I would have thought.
No, I disagree. I think it was taxpayer-funded booze that caused this mess. The taxpayers should be on the hook for the mess.
For the vom-voms.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, but hang on.
This was all a taxpayer event.
Like, but was the taxpayer paying for the booze?
Yeah, she was there as a minister. That's why she had the car. That's why had the hospitality and everything like that. That was all taxpayer stuff. Look, and then she has to pay for the cleanup.
There were questions to be asked. We asked the MP, Eleni Patinos, if she wanted to come on the show. And actually, Sam, our producer, put a call in. Sam, hello. Sam, you had the conversation. How did it go? She was going to explain what actually happened. Just jump in here, Sam, and talk us through it. It's very funny. I was listening to the call that Sam placed to the MP to try to get her to come on the show and talk us through the night. Because New South Wales wants to know what happened in the back of that car. Sam's here. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
So we asked you to do a lot of terrible things helping producing the show, but how do you approach an MP and ask them to talk us through vomiting in the back of a limo?
Well, interesting you should ask me that. So what I did is I got my very special, very formal voice on.
You sounded very professional.
Very professional.
Yes.
And I actually came to a part in the office that's a little bit less populated than everywhere else. So I could use this voice. And sound like, you know, professional.
May I say, the English accent gives it a certain gravitas.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. It helps. Yeah. So I got through to the office, and the lady who answered was very, very nice. And suddenly, I'm surrounded by Dom, Ugly Phil. Everybody is around me watching me say, what is she going to say? How is she going to say
this? How does she place this call?
And I could not think of the right word to say. Do I say vomit? Do I say puke, like Charles had said in his email? All of these words are just going around in my mind. Vomit, yes. Puke, spew. In the end, I think I went for throwing up.
Yeah, so Sam said, yeah, that is what I have a quick chat to the MP about. Yeah. Well, throwing up.
Yeah. That moment she lost all of her dignity and, you know, threw up on her own clothes.
And what was the answer? Did they agree?
Well, She kind of skirted around the issue, I will say. But look, I will say that unfortunately she couldn't do the interview, not because of the spewing. They had actually said before I mentioned the vom-vom that she wasn't going to be available for any interviews.
I think when that's in the paper that day, you probably kind of perform a clean-up operation, shall we say.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Yeah, we were talking earlier in the show about Queenslanders. How they're different from us here in New South Wales, the cane toads and the cockroaches. The little change in some of the language they use, and I'm still maintaining that by jingo is what they call an icy pole up there. In fact, the Courier Mail had a headline, by jingo, we talk differently up here. So I got some of the other ones we didn't get to. They call a permanent marker a nico, like instead of a texter.
Yes,
never
right.
heard that before. They don't say bogans, they say bevins.
Yes,
bevins.
I know that one.
Mm. Oh, do you know there's a funny Canberra one? I'll only say this. It's heegies.
What?
You say heegies.
For what?
Nobody says the word heegies.
Heegies, I swear, for like kind of like, that's more of a hippie bogan, and
right.
they're called heegies. Anyway.
A heegie's a hippie bogan.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, just let you, that's a thing.
We're going to have a whole other quiz about how
Canberra words. Canberra words.
One thing about Canberra, by the way, I've got a bit of a beef about this, because I used to broadcast into Canberra. In Canberra, everyone supports the Maroons. Like they're in
just because
New South Wales. You are surrounded. Like it's like this right. one small village Asterix thing where they're just like, no, we're screwing New South Wales. We're not. Yours. We're
But that's because Mal Meninga, when Canberra was first set up as an NRL club, Mal Meninga went there and captained it.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, yep. They spend most of their life driving out of Canberra to where the good things are in New South Wales. They can at least have a little bit of loyalty. Same thing when they have origin in Melbourne.
Yep.
It's a home game for the Maroons, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. We have Cameron Smith from the Storms, the captain of the Maroons. Yeah.
And that's also because all Victorians, they move to the Gold Coast. They miss. Yeah. They jump over New South Wales altogether.
It's also because Victorians like winning. So.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. So what I'm saying, guys, is that in any Origin game, because of these issues, New South Wales deserve a 20-point start. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, look, they are different. And in fact, we've got a clip here just to show how different they are in Queensland. This is a quiz show that was broadcast a couple of nights ago exclusively in Queensland. I think you'll tell they're pretty different.
We sat down with a Queenslander in the spirit of understanding to try and understand how they think. John, your time starts now. What is your name?
It's a thing that you call someone that's not their nickname.
Correct. What is 1 + 1?
Maths.
Correct. Who built the Ark?
Tradies.
Correct. Who wrote the Bible?
Wayne Bennett.
More information?
And God.
Correct. What is considered formal wear in Queensland?
Clean thongs.
More information?
And socks if it's a wedding.
Correct. What in Queensland is called Toowoomba toothpaste?
A can of Coke.
And what do you call it when a man's shorts are hanging a bit low?
A plumber's smile.
Or?
Close to the try line.
Very good. Our last bonus question. What do you call 28,000 Blues supporters caught in a rip off Southport Beach?
A good start.
Radio Chaser. Triple M. And Reece, Charles, AH Kelly and Dom Knight. Very excited about such a big day in football today, guys. I might get to meet one of the world's greatest footballers, Alexander Lacazette.
I'm sorry?
Who? Formerly of Lyon.
What?
Now signed with Arsenal. He's in town. He's in Sydney.
This again. No, Dom.
He's worth $88 million. We just paid to Lyon.
Triple M's ratings just plummeted in the space of 2 seconds.
Aren't we Arsenal? Just paid all this money. He's in town. He's in Sydney. I'm going to try and meet him.
Talk about running down the clock. Running down the clock is soccer.
If I can ask him a question,
just running down the clock.
What question do I ask him? If I can get a question in today,
what do you ask him?
What's the question? $88 million this guy's worth.
Okay.
Can I borrow some change?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Ask him why soccer is, as a code, is struggling so hard in Australia to gain any kind of traction.
Why does everyone in Australia hate your sport?
Why is it so boring?
Yeah. Why is it so corrupt? Yeah. Ask why it's so corrupt.
Because there's nothing
so
else to
mean.
Do. Have you
You're
watched
so
the game?
So mean about soccer. I love league. I'm going to watch Origin tonight as well. But can't you give me this? Like my team visited Sydney for the first time in 33 years.
Okay.
And whenever I mention it, how excited I am.
They care about you.
Ask him where would soccer be without Russian oligarchs? Ask him that.
I need a different show where they actually care about soccer. I might need a different station as well.
Now, we've got some bad news out of Queensland.
Luckily.
Luckily.
Great.
Scientists have released new figures that show the coral in the Great Barrier Reef is being bleached even faster than previously thought. The Queensland government has responded by announcing a rebrand for the whole Great Barrier Reef. It's now going to be Coral, the New White Meat. Radio Chaser.
Triple M. Now, look, if you look at any newspaper, pretty much anywhere in the world, we've got TVs on in the studios, it keeps flashing up all the time. Donald Trump Jr. is in massive trouble with Russia. He's basically admitted, like Breitbart, the most far-right pro-Trump site on the internet, like one of the editors just said, yeah, basically that's collusion. So there's a lot of trouble. They're calling it a Category 5 hurricane hitting the White House as we speak. And all these questions being asked about Trump and Russia, everyone wants to know what really happened. And one of the people who is leading this investigation keeps making all these scoops and revelations is Louise Mensch. Now, Reese, you've been talking to online for a while. Who's Louise Mensch?
Yeah, Louise Mensch is a former Tory MP who
from Britain.
Britain, exactly. And she's so she's of the right, which makes this quite interesting. And she's been one of the great opponents of Trump from day one. And she's also, coincidentally, also the wife of the manager of Metallica.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. So she moved to New York she left politics in the UK to be with her husband, who manages Metallica. How cool is that?
Yeah, yes, indeed. And since she's moved to the UK, obviously she's gone very hard for Donald Trump.
She has the most amazing sources from the intelligence community of anyone. She's breaking story after story. She is leading the charge against Trump.
So, look, Charles and Reese spoke to her just before the show to find out exactly how deep this thing goes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Louise, I was just wondering if you had a chance to see the movie Some Kind of Monster.
Oh, yeah, of course. I saw that and I bought the DVD, and actually before I married my husband, who I'd known before, on the DVD issue of the Some Kind of Monster Metallica movie, there's all these extra takeout stuff with, like, the managers make it in. So my husband and his partner Cliff were in that, and I must remember watching that on repeat quite a lot of times.
Now, speaking of Some Kind of Monster, obviously you're leading the way against a certain Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Indeed.
Yes, and I'm
like to think so.
Yes, and I'm just wondering how a Conservative MP, how did you fall into the role of being, one of the leaders of the sort of anti-Trump movement?
Well, I have been from the beginning. I mean, I like to think that I'm morally consistent. So I am a Conservative, always have been. Indeed, I was a Tory MP in Britain.
Yeah.
But I do not like treason against the United States. I do not trust Vladimir Putin in any way whatsoever. He is an enemy of not just America and Britain, but also Australia. I will literally never forgive Steve Bannon for what happened to Nick Warner, head of the ASD, when he came into America on a diplomatic passport. That was Steve Bannon, and that was Russia.
So what do you think Trump has actually done?
He has colluded knowingly and openly with Vladimir Putin and Russian intelligence to hack the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and to publish that material and target it at voters. He's also colluded with Russia in the hacking of state voter databases in the US. So, like, your states like Arizona, Michigan, and so forth, those were hacked by the Russians, according to an official report, and Donald Trump absolutely colluded with that.
But how can you know it's Trump?
Because I have really good intelligence sources, and people say, well, how can you prove it? Name your sources, which obviously I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
But we have seen in the last couple of days Donald Trump Jr. Coming out and admitting that he met this lawyer connected to Russian intelligence, and he asked for opposition on Clinton. He asked for hacked stuff.
And he also claimed that he was there to talk about Russian orphans.
We're talking to Louise Minch, who's running the sort of journalistic charge against Trump. And who do you think will be going down with Trump? Like,
how long do you have?
No.
You can fill a couple of cricket teams with it, I'll tell you that much. No problem.
Obviously, the vice president is one name that sort of seems to be sort of involved. Paul Ryan, who's the head of the lower house, which is sort of the House of Representatives, also seems to be implicated. But do you think these people will actually go down with Trump?
Well, they're not going to be as president unless Trump immediately resigns, in which case they probably couldn't get a case together for Pence quickly enough, and he will be then pulled down in due course. But my understanding is that Paul Manafort's phone was hot mic'd, which is to say it was hacked and turned into a recording device. So we're not just talking about calls that went to Paul Manafort's phone. We're talking about wherever he carried it, it was recording.
And he was Trump's campaign manager.
Yes, sir, he was. And he handpicked Mike Pence as vice president candidate. And so Mike Pence, for a number of reasons, that's one of them, my sources say, is going to go down in due course. I can't be definitive and say that he'll never be president. He's in line, and you have to have a case and you have to have an impeachment. But I know that one of the reasons for the slight delay in prosecuting all this is the desire of the intelligence community to do things in one fell swoop. So in the line of succession for the US presidency, Trump going down, Pence going down, Ryan, who's next, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, also going down. It stops at the fourth guy in line who did not commit treason, a guy called Senator Orrin Hatch, who is the oldest guy in the Senate, or the longest-serving guy in the Senate, and he is clean of any treason.
What is the end game as far as Trump and the forces that support Trump? What is their end game? Because we've seen Trump basically attack all of the US's traditional allies, alienate all of them. He's attacked NATO.
That's right.
He's pretty much done everything that Putin would ask of him. What is his end game? Is it purely to enrich himself, or is there something more than that?
It's to enrich himself, to be famous, and so forth. And really, you know, this guy has been owned in terms of intel by Russia for a long time. He's committed a lot of treason with them, taken their money, washed it through his dirty casinos. The guy is not successful. It's really hard to lose money in a casino, but he has repeatedly because he was just laundering Russian money. They own him. Everything that Trump does should be seen through the prism of Vladimir Putin. And I think, honestly, we pay a lot of attention to how nuts Trump is because he's obviously nuts. Okay, yeah. No problem.
Yeah, and
I don't think we pay at all enough attention to how nuts Vladimir Putin is. He really thought he could take on American intelligence and win. You've got to be joking, mate. I'm sorry. And the punishment on Russia and Putin is going to be enormous. And Australian intelligence, having recorded Ivanka Trump doing treason with the Chinese, really does hold an absolute Trump card, no pun intended here, because the one person that the guy seems to care about in this world is his daughter Ivanka. Doesn't seem to give a monkey's about his three sons, but his daughter Ivanka he cares about.
Louise Mensch, thanks so much for joining us.
Cheers. Thank you now.
Thank you.
Race and Charles, they're talking earlier in the day to Louise Mensch, who the former MP has been spearheading a lot of investigations into Trump. I don't think he cares about Tiffany either, does he?
No, not very much. But one of the interesting points that she did bring up, if people were wondering, is Nick Warner, who is basically the head of our intelligence agencies, and he was actually body searched when he landed in the US, including internally. Now it's
the
very
finger on the rubber glove.
Glove. He copped the rubber glove, and it's very hard to imagine if the head of the CIA came to Australia. If we did that,
we've got to
do
it.
What kind of blowback there would be?
We've got to do it as
it's
Australia.
Pretty extraordinary.
For our national pride, we need to do the probe.
You think we've got to
when
do
they
that?
Come. Now, when Donald Trump visits us, he's getting a probing. That's just how it's got to be.
I'm pretty sure that as Nick Warner was getting probed, what he said was, "No dinner, no movies, just straight to this."
Triple M, Radio Chaser. Yes, indeed. Now, State of Origin, of course, tonight, Game 3, the decider. Could not be more pumped. In order that people like Charles Firth can enjoy the game tonight, we've asked A.H. Kaley just to supply a few tips, a few explainers to Charles and other people who might not actually know what league is. Charles, what would you like to ask?
Look, I'm not a total idiot, though. Like, I know.
No, of course.
You've grown up in New South Wales. Yeah. You've seen it on TV occasionally.
But my first question is, because when I was growing up, it always seemed to be a bit even between State of Origin, you know, the two sides. Why are the Blues so crap?
Well, look, there is the argument that the selection rules for a long time had affected the Blues in that there are so many players who play in Queensland who are from New South Wales, because I think it was where you played your first... first under 20. So you have, like, so with the Sims brothers, Corbin and Tariq, one of them is New South Wales and the other one's Queensland. Oh. So apparently there was a border between their bedrooms as a kid. So there's that, but then also, I don't know, Mitchell Pearce.
Right. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. And so what's the difference between a league ball and a union ball?
One of them went to private school.
Okay. that was easy. Okay, and so now with the tries, when you get a try, you then get to convert the try, right?
Yes.
Yep, yep. And that's from where the ball got put down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why don't they always run into the centre? Like sometimes they just go across the thing and just go straight. Is it easier to sort of hit at an angle? It doesn't seem like it'd be easy to. Why don't they always run in?
Yeah. Oh, look, I think, and I've got to be honest, that's something that I've often questioned as well. If they have room to run in, obviously, if they're jumping, you know, next to the sideline, no hope. But I think it's that, I don't know, maybe they're buggered or they're still able to sort of be knocked out, lose the ball. I think there's always the risk that you could knock on in there.
Yeah, it's just the defenders. They can't get to
knock
the middle because there's people in the way.
You want to get the ball down as quick as possible and safely.
But what Charles is saying is often you watch a game and it's like they do have the opportunity to run in.
Yeah.
And
they probably
the
forget at that point.
Yeah.
And what's knock on? Is that something Mitchell Pearce does?
Oh, a lot. So a knock on is, a knock on is when you lose the ball forwards from your hands or from anything other than your feet.
All right, Charles, do you feel ready?
No, not at all.
Perfect. Radio Chaser. Triple M.